Reading from the Jiva Dharma, Shakti Tattva, not sure what chapter that is. Om Gyanatamanandasya Dhananjaya Shalakaya Tatsurun Militam Yena Asmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Vayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Turujascha Vipasindhu Vayedhucha Atitanam Bhavanejo Vaishnavejo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from the Bhakti Center in New York. I just got back a few minutes ago from Union Square. Wow. Unbelievable. Madhavis Kirtan, 40 devotees sitting, chanting. It was just so wonderful and so powerful, so fortunate. Residents of New York. So when the part of Jiva Dharma, as you remember, we're in the part where, well, you know, Jiva Dharma is about people coming to Krishna consciousness. But now we're not just following someone coming to Krishna consciousness, we're following how he develops in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not just to introduce people, it's to bring them to prema bhakti. So now we're not only going to follow someone who came to Krishna consciousness, but we're going to follow how he gets the full gamut of instructions, all through the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Ujjvala Nilamani, before that, now the Das Mula Stotra, the 10 main instructions of Gaudiya Vaishnava that contain the full gamut of our philosophy, Nam Tattva, so many things this Vajranath's going to learn. And he was a excellent best logician and that caused a lot of envy. It's so insidious. I see it even in my own heart, you know, hopefully not to act on it. But so much the desire for pratishtha and puja, for profit, adoration, and distinction is such a strong desire. I don't know where that comes from, that we want to be seen as better than others, better than anyone, better than everyone. And how affected we get when we do something that affects our self-conception or people perceive us where our prestige is lowered. That's why there's so much argument. People just don't want to be defeated. It's not that they want the truth. They want to be superior, and argument is one way to do that. So he was such a great logician. He was defeating everyone that there was a lot of envy, and one competing, logician performed some tantric curse that, you know, he would... you know, never again, you know, somehow delve in Yaya or something like that. But the curse was fulfilled in a very interesting way, that he would lose his desire for argument. It was fulfilled in a very interesting way, and he began to he was studying logic, and Lord Chaitanya was a great logician, so he began to study Lord Chaitanya as a logician, and he just became immensely attracted to Lord Chaitanya, and gave up his fulfilling the curse. But in terms of really destiny, once you this for devotee, there's no good or bad karma. You know, there's just a different. Everything brings one back to Krishna, so you become beyond duality in that sense. Eventually, a Dao Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha, from that appreciation, he got a taste, a drop of bhakti, which eventually just naturally impelled him to take Sadhu Sangha, to associate with those people who have what he experienced in full. And can therefore give what he experienced. It's very, very subtle. Somehow or other, God arranges all these circumstances for us where, you know, we think it's bad karma, but all it's doing is positioning our heart to be open for mercy. And God does it to all of us in such a variety of ways. Somehow he was, you know, open for some kind of mercy that carried a drop of Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Just somehow or other, by mercy of Guru and Krishna, the seed of devotion, that sweet trust experience of sublimity. And trust in the nature of that sublimity, which is bhakti and to serve Krishna, somehow or other it entered his heart. And now we're going to follow how, by the instructions of these Babaji, by these instructions, he moves forward and removes all his doubts. So somehow or other, we're in the discussion of what's called the Das Mula, and one of the ten root instructions, and one of those root instructions is about Shakti. So we're learning about Shakti Tattva, the truth about Shakti or potency. And we're learning that there is Shakti, and that Shakti or potency just doesn't exist in illusion, which is Mayavadi philosophy, but Shakti or Tattva is there in the Paratattva, the Parashakti, the Sarup Shakti. In transcendence, there's Shakti. In transcendence, there's energy for the purpose of Leela. God moves for the purpose of Leela. That's how God enjoys. He enjoys by exchanging with energies. That's the plan of God, which is reflected here in this world. And that's the most important thing to learn about Shakti. Parasya Shakti Vividaya Suyate, that the Supreme Lord has unlimited Shaktis. That's the most important thing to learn. And then it begins to describe, therefore, what is the nature of this Shakti? Well, really, there's two things. There's Shaktiman and there's Shakti. There's God and there is and his energies. And Krishna is Shaktiman. He's the possessor of energies, and Radha is the Shakti. She is the Sarup Shakti, the Parashakti. And And therefore, Shakti is meant for the pleasure of God. And Shakti is pleasure. Because that's the expansion of Radha is the complementary side of God for the experience of love. For the experience of love. And that Shakti has three main divisions. That's Sarup Shakti has three main divisions. Some bit Shakti, the cognitive potency, Sandini Shakti, the existential potency, and Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency. Existence, knowledge, and pleasure. Those are the three main potencies which manifest as the Chit Shakti, the spiritual potency, the Jiva Shakti, the marginal potency, and the Maya Shakti, the material potency, or the material energy. So basically, these are the three main Shaktis, the six main energies of God. His main divisions are three into existential, cognitive, and pleasure, which manifest on three planes: the spiritual plane, the marginal plane, and the external plane. So we're going to read a little bit, and just bear with me. It'll get quite interesting, I think. So which of Sri Krishna is Shakti is Srimati Radhika? Babaji, as Sri Krishna is the complete Shaktiman Tattva, Srimati Radhika is the complete Shakti. She may be called the complete Sarup Shakti, so that they can act and relish their Leela, Srimati Radhika and Krishna are eternally separate, but they are eternally inseparable, just as musk and its scent are mutually inseparable, and fire and its heat cannot be separate from each other. So it's two aspects, inseparable aspects of one principle. And the example was musk and its scent. You can't separate them, but they are different. You can't separate Radha and Krishna, but they're different. That Sarup Shakti, Srimati Radhika, has three kinds of potency or activity, Kriya Shakti. They are known as Chit Shakti, Jiva Shakti, and Maya Shakti. The spiritual potency, the marginal potency, and the external potency. The Chit Shakti is also called the internal potency, Antaranga Shakti. Maya Shakti is called the external potency, Bahirangi Shakti, and the Jiva is called the marginal potency, or Tattvastha Shakti. So the Sarup Shakti, Radharani, has three potencies or activities. The Chit or Antaranga, the internal potency, the Maya or Bahiranga Shakti, the external potency, and the Jiva or Tattvastha Shakti, which is the marginal potency. Although Sarup Shakti is one, she acts in these three ways. All the eternal characteristics of Sarup Shakti are completely present in the Chit Shakti, present to a minute degree in the Jiva Shakti, and present in a distorted way in the Maya Shakti. So that original Sarup Shakti, the pleasure, the potency of love, in that the potency of love is that too loud, the air conditioning?
We can hear you fine, Marish.
Okay, thanks, Ricky. I appreciate it. So this is like a little bit to scientists. I hope you can follow on, but Shubh Shakti, it's manifest fully in the internal potency, partially, minute degree in the Jiva Shakti, and a distorted way in the Maya Shakti. Distorted way, the Shubh Shakti becomes material pleasure. Apart from these three kinds of Kriya Shakti, potency of activities that I have described, Srup Shakti has three other types of manifestation, namely Ladini, Sadini, and Sambhik. Okay, so we have the Srup Shakti is the Para Shakti, the supreme potency. It manifests in three, Chit, Jiva, and Maya. And also another three manifestations, Ladini, Sandini, and Samvit. These are described as follows in Dasa Mula, in Dasa Mula 4. So then there's another verse from the Dasa Mula, which is going to describe the nature of Ladini, Sandini, and Samvit. There are three functions of Srup Shakti, Ladini Shakti, Sandini Shakti, and Samvit. Due to the influence of Ladini Shakti, Krishna remains perpetually immersed in Pranaya Vikara. So by the Ladini Shakti, Krishna experiences Pranaya, Dikar, transformations of love. Because of the confidential bhavas invoked by the Samvit Shakti, he is ever situated as Rasika Shekhar, enrichling newer and newer rasas. So, Krishna, the influence of the Samvit Shakti, is a variety of different relationships that Krishna is relishing. A variety of the different types of love he's experiencing. That supremely independent pastime prince, Sri Krishna, is ever drowned within the ocean of Brajaras in his transcendental bliss-filled abodes headed by Vrindavana, which are manifest through the Sandini Shakti. So basically it says Ladini Shakti, Krishna experiences prema, Samvit Shakti, Krishna experiences love in different varieties, different moods of love come then. And the abode of that, the setting of that, is by the Sandini Shakti, it's Vrindavan. The purport is that the three aspects of Srup Shakti, namely Ladini, Sandini, and Samvit, completely influence all the activities of Chit Shakti, Jiva Shakti, and Maya Shakti. So we're going to read about this, how the internal potency, the Chit Shakti, has a particular type of influence from the pleasure potency, from the existential potency, and the Samvit potency. For example, the Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency, in the internal potency is love of Godhead. In the Jiva Shakti, when that Ladini Shakti comes, you can experience Brahman, the pleasure of Brahman. And when it manifests in the Maya Shakti, it's material pleasure. So Ladini Shakti influences, again, there's the three aspects of the Srup Shakti, the internal potency, are the Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency, Sambit, the cognitive potency, Sandini, the existential potency. And they influence the internal potency, the Shit Shakti. They influence the Jiva Shakti, the marginal potency, and the Maya Shakti. And I gave the example, Ladini, the pleasure potency, and the internal potency is love of Godhead. In Jiva Tattva, it becomes Brahman realization, the pleasure of Brahman. And in the Maya Shakti, it becomes sense gratification, material pleasure. So Ladini Vritti of the Sarup Shakti, as Srimati Radhika, the daughter of Vrishabhanu Maharaj, gives full transcendental bliss and enjoyment to Krishna. Sri Radhika is the embodiment of Mahabhav. So the Ladini Shakti of the Sarup Shakti creates prema. Here it says, Ladini Vritti, the aspect of Ladini that affects the internal potency, as Radhika gives pleasure to Krishna, and she comes to the state of Mahabhav. She gives happiness to Krishna in her own transcendental form, and she also eternally manifests eight bhavas as the eight principal sakis, who are direct extensions, Kaya Vyuha, of her own Sarup. So Radhika is manifest in her own form in eight principal gopis. Besides that, she manifests in the four types of service moods as the four different types of Sakis, namely Priya Sakhi, Narma Sakhi, Prana Sakhi, and Paranaprastha Sakhi. All these Sakis are Nitya Siddha Shakis within the transcendental realm of Vraja. So when the Ladini Shakti manifests with the Sarup Shakti, you get Radharani and all her close associates. The Sambit Vritti of the Sarup Shakti manifests all the various Sambandha Bhavs within Vraja. Okay, I just got to keep on repeating it. Okay, so the Sarup Shakti manifests as the Chit Shakti, the Jiva Shakti, and the Maya Shakti. When Ladini influences the Chit Shakti, it manifests as the highest form of love of Radha, Mahabhav, and her gopis. And when the Sambit Shakti, Vritti, the cognitive potency, mixes with the Sarup Shakti, it creates various relationships, moods of relationship with Krishna. And when the Sandini Shakti manifests, it manifests the existential potency when it affects the Sarup Shakti or the Chit Shakti or the internal potency. It manifests everything in Vrindavan consisting of water, earth, and so on, and the villages, forests, gardens, and Giri Govardhan, which are places of Krishna's pastimes. It also manifests all other transcendental objects used in Krishna's pastimes, as well as the transcendental bodies of Sri Radhika, Sri Krishna, the Sakis, Shakas, cows, Dasas, Dasis, and so on. Sri Krishna is always happily situated in the bliss of the pranaya quality of Ladini, and he relishes the pranaya ras, embracing the various serving bhavas manifested by Ladini Vritti. So, by the influence of the pleasure potency on the Sarup Shakti, love of Godhead is manifest. And the Sambit Vritti of Sarup Shakti, it manifests various moods of devotion. And Sandini manifests everything in Vraj, all the things, pastimes. Okay. No, now, okay. Through the samvit vritti of this parashakti, Krishna performs activities such as attracting the gopis by playing upon his flute, bamsi, taking the cows out for grazing, gocharana, rasleela, and other pastimes. Sri Krishna, who is Vraja Vilas, the enjoyer of pastimes in Vraja, always remains immersed in rasa in his transcendental dham, which is manifested by the Sundini potency. Amongst all the abodes in his pastimes, the abode of Vraja pastimes is sweet. So we talked about the influence of the different transformations of the Shroop Shakti have on the eternal potency. They create the abode of Vrindavan and the moods of love of Vrindavan, etc. So Vrajana, now this is the part I want you to hear. I think it's very interesting if you could follow. Vrajanath, you've explained that the Sundini, Samvit, and Ladini are all manifestations of the Sarup Shakti. You have also said that Jiva Shakti is an atomic part of the Sarup Shakti and that Maya Shakti is the reflection of the Sarup Shakti. Now kindly explain how the Sundini, the Samvit, and the Ladini tendencies act upon the Jiva and Maya. So we discussed how it influences the Chit Shakti. Now, how does it influence the Jiva Shakti and Maya Shakti? Please listen carefully. I think this is interesting. Jiva Shakti is the atomic potency of the Srup Shakti, and all three aspects of Srup Shakti are present in it to a minute degree. Thus, the Ladini Vritti is always present in the Jiva in the form of Brahmananda, spiritual bliss, the Samvit Vritti in the form of Brahma Gyan, transcendental knowledge, and the Sandini Vritti is present in the Jiva's minute form. I'll explain the subject matter more clearly when we discuss Jiva Tattva. So the nature of Ladini is manifest in the Jiva in the form of Brahmananda, impersonal bliss, the Samvit Vritti, which is the cognitive post in the form of Brahmagyan, knowledge of Brahman, and the Sandini Vritti in the form of the minute jivas. I will explain this subject matter more clearly when we discuss Jiva Tattva. In Maya Shakti, the Ladini Vritti is manifest in the form of mundane pleasure. Samvit Vritti manifests in the form of material knowledge. And Sundini Shakti is manifest in the form of the entire material universe, which consists of 14 planetary systems and the material bodies of the jivas. So, again, the Srup Shakti is divided into three, the pleasure potency, Ladini, the cognitive potency, Samvit, and the existential potency, Sandini. So in the Jiva, the Sandini potency is the material world, the Samvit potency is material knowledge, and the Ladini Vritti is knowledge of Brahman. Why is Shakti called inconceivable if all its activities can be understood like this? Good question. These topics can be understood in isolation from one another, but their relationships are inconceivable. In the material world, because opposite qualities have the tendency to annihilate each other, principles that are mutually opposed cannot be present together at the same place. However, Krishna Shakti has such inconceivable power that in the spiritual world, it manifests all the mutually opposing qualities together at the same time in a very wonderful and beautiful manner. Even though Sri Krishna has the most beautiful form, Rupa, he is formless, arupa. He has a transcendental murti form, but he is present everywhere. He is always active, although he is not engaged in activities. He is the son of Nanda Maharaj, although he is unborn. He is simply a cowherd boy, although he is worshipped by others, and he has a human form and bhava, although he is omniscient. So it has inconceivable potency, because Krishna's direct potency is not confined to any laws. So we generally judge things by how we perceive cause and effect working in this world. But if something's above cause and effect, that's coming from the will of God, how can you understand it by the frame of reference of your logic based upon how things in the material world work? So now, Vajranath asked, why is Shakti called inconceivable? So that's the answer. It's inconceivable because he moves by his own will, and therefore mutually opposing qualities can exist at the same time. Similarly, at one, he possesses all qualities, sadhishesha, and yet he has no qualities, nirvishesha. He is a chinta, inconceivable and full of wrath. He is both limited and limitless. He is very far away and very close by. He is unaffected. Nirvikara, and yet he's afraid of the man, sulking mood of the apparent anger of the gopis. How can we enumerate the infinite varieties of Krishna's qualities such as these? They contradict each other, and yet they are eternally beautiful, the present without opposition or conflict in his sarup form. His abode and in the various paraphernalia related to him, this is the inconceivable nature of his shakti. So, to understand God, you have to understand his inconceivable potency. Vrajanath, do the Vedas accept this? Babaji has been accepted everywhere. It has been said in the Svetashvatara Upanishads, Apani pado javano grihita pasyat yachakshu sashrino yakarana sadeti vedyam nachatasyat that Paramatma has no material hands or legs, but he accepts everything with his transcendental hands and goes everywhere with his transcendental legs. So do the Shastras accept that the Lord is inconceivable? Yes. They quote a verse from the Vedas, from the Svetashvatara Upanishad. He has no material eyes or ears, yet he sees and hears everything with his transcendental eyes and ears. He knows all that is to be known and the activities of everything, but no one can know him unless he reveals himself. The transcendentalists who know Brahma call him the original personality, the great Purusha who is the cause of all causes. Now the next is a famous verse from the Isha Upanishad, as I quote it often, Tarejati, Tanajati, Tadure, Santanti, Satantike, Tarantarasya, Sarvasya, Tarut, Sarvasya, Vaya. That Supreme Lord, Parameshwar, he walks it, he does not walk. He is further than the furthest, yet he is also nearer than the nearest. He is within everything and at the same time outside of everything. This is how the qualities in the spiritual world are perfectly resolved, although they appear to contradict each other. Going to read one more paragraph and then we'll have to finish for today. The Isha Upanishads further. That Paramatma is omniscient and pure. He has no material form, but he has an eternal, transcendental form full of knowledge and bliss. This body has no veins or holes and is beyond our designation. He is the primeval sage and poet. He is omniscient. And he appears by his own desire. He is situated on the highest platform. He controls everything. By his inconceivable potency, he maintains everything throughout eternity, engages all others in working according to their value, according to their qualities. So that was a lot. I don't know. This section is a lot. And at night, it becomes hard to understand philosophy. So let me see how we can do with this. But does anyone have any questions today? Or would anyone like to say?
Jai Maharaj, it's Rati Krishna.
Yeah, Rati, this is a very difficult section to communicate. at night.
Yeah.
You know, I'll have to think about it. I may have to sum it up. I don't have time. I just, you know, need a few minutes. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, Gauranga Bhaktadas.
Gauranga Bhakta, thank you so much. I need an audience. I think this Jiva Dharma is getting too hard for people. We'll try better next week. Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you all.